And I'm Brian Moline. Republican Rodney Davis of Taylorville is running for a third term in Congress, representing Illinois' 13th district. Yesterday, we heard from Davis's opponent, challenger Mark Wicklund of Decatur, on issues including immigration, health care, the minimum wage, and trade. I spoke with Davis about those same issues, beginning with his thoughts on the Trans-Pacific Partnership.
I do support free trade, but trade's got to be fair, too. And I will tell your listeners, I don't think there's any way the TPP gets enough votes to pass the House before the new administration, especially with the anti-trade rhetoric coming out of both parties at the presidential level. I was actually instrumental in trying to negotiate some new language that actually helped with fair trade. For the last few decades, steel coming from other countries like China and South Korea and India has flooded into our marketplace and has undercut our American steel industry, costing thousands of jobs near the southwestern part of my district. My colleague John Shimkus and Mike Boss and I wrote language that would change the enforcement provisions through the Trade Promotion Authority bill that passed just about a year ago. And what that did is it's allowed the Department of Commerce to actually have trade violations adjudicated in a much more timely manner. And our steel industry has told me they've already adjudicated three and held those countries accountable, which helps our domestic steel production. Those are the types of trade agreements and changes to trade agreements that exist that I'm going to continue to support making because it's more fair for Americans.
On to infrastructure. You've talked about that issue quite a bit, transportation, funding for infrastructure. One of the issues we're having with that now is that the federal gas tax is not raising the revenue that it used to, in part because that tax has remained flat for the last 20-some years, but also in part because vehicles are more fuel efficient and aren't using as much gasoline as they used to. As revenue from that source diminishes, how do you think we should raise additional revenue to take care of the roads, bridges, and other infrastructure in the country?
Well, as you know, when I campaigned for this job and 2012, I talked about investing more in infrastructure. Infrastructure investment provides some of the best paying jobs we have in central Illinois, and it helps us to continue to grow our economic engines and our transportation arteries that allow businesses to thrive in central and southwestern Illinois. That's why I asked for a seat on the Transportation and Infrastructure Committee. I helped write the first long-term highway bill that we've seen in over a decade. And what that means is that I'm sitting in Edwardsville, Illinois right now as we talk, and I just met with the mayor who let me know that IDOT took our federal surface transportation funds through one of the local organizations, and they've already committed to spend over $1 million on projects that are prioritized by the city of Edwardsville. This isn't just Edwardsville. These are communities like Champaign and Urbana that now have the ability to plan long-term to address long-term capital needs. But you're right. The federal gas tax is a resource that the federal government relies on, and it's dwindling. It's dwindling because the federal government is forcing higher mileage standards, and simply raising it is not going to get us out of the problem. We have to start thinking of a portfolio of funding sources. And I'm glad to see the American Trucking Association, the Chamber of Commerce, they're looking at alternative sources like tax reform, keeping our existing gas tax the way it is and making it a pie. I just don't believe we can invest our future infrastructure demands in one dwindling source, which is the gas tax. And we've got to look at other sources.
On to immigration. I think everybody agrees that the status quo for immigration in the United States is broken. But no one has really been able to agree over the last several years on how to fix the problem. What do you think is the best solution there?
Well, it is tragic that the issue of immigration and fixing and securing our borders has become such a politicized issue by both parties, and which makes me think they don't want to solve the problem because they want to use it as a political issue. I think the president has made the possibility of seriously addressing our broken immigration system impossible because people don't trust him. He's ignored the people by sidestepping Congress and issuing unconstitutional executive orders that are now tied up in the courts, and they're failing to enforce our current immigration laws. you know, I think a piecemeal approach is going to be the best approach now, because I think we have to, number one, secure our border. And when we say that, everybody automatically thinks we're just talking about the southern border. Just last year, 480,000 people overstayed their visas, but only 10,000 were investigated. They're coming in through our airports as travel tourist visas, student visas, and others. That's where the majority of illegal immigration comes from in this country. And if we don't start talking about securing our borders, and not just the southern one, we're not going to address the main driver of it.
Healthcare has been an issue that has really been prominent for the last several years. I know you're no fan of the Affordable Care Act, known as Obamacare. I know you've been a proponent of repealing that legislation. I guess the question then is, should that happen at some point in the future, should Obamacare be repealed, what's the replacement?
Well, the replacement is listed as part of our Better Way agenda that members of the House Republican Conference helped put together. I urge all your listeners to go to betterway.gop. And what it does is it truly creates a marketplace scenario where we can live up to the promises that were made by this president and his administration when they concocted this law that has cost families thousands more per year. It's cost taxpayers billions of dollars, but $2 billion plus just on a website that still doesn't work that well. So we have to address some of the institutional problems that were in place before Obamacare became into existence, like pre-existing conditions. Those matter to me. My wife's a cancer survivor. We can have a healthcare system in this country that addresses pre-existing conditions, but also lives up to the promises that the Obama administration made when they promised families a savings of up to $2,500 a year on average with this plan that has not actually come to fruition. And remember, by law, there's only one group of individuals who have to get their health insurance through the Obamacare exchange, and that's me. That's members of Congress. So I'm on it, and I know my premiums went up, my deductibles went up, and a number that means something to me because my family reached it one year when my wife was fighting that cancer is the out-of-pocket max that went up exponentially. These are the types of frustrations many families are facing throughout this country, and we've got to do everything we can to get rid of this failing law that's costing taxpayers billions and costing families even more.
That's Republican Congressman Rodney Davis of Taylorville, who is running for a third term representing Illinois' 13th district. Davis also says he's open to an increase in the minimum wage, but only in conjunction with tax reform for businesses to help them afford an increase in wages.